Welcome back to the Strength and Speed Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Preparis. Brenna Calvert could not be here this week. She is working tonight, so we do not have her on the air. But we do have another guest, which I'll get to in a second. If you haven't checked out the Strength and Speed website recently, please do so. Just put up some new discount codes. If you want a rec bag, there's a use code SS10 and you can get 10% off your rec bag or rec bag accessories. If you want a Neptune Performance shirt, the one I wear for Toughest Mudder and World's Toughest Mudder, the heated shirt, there's a $10 off code on my website. And, of course, the book, Strength and Speed's Guide to Elite Obstacle Course Racing, also available in the online store of my website, along with a bunch of hats, shirts, sweatshirts, etc. So make sure you check out Strength and Speed. This week, we have a special guest. It's Julie Hartjes. And yeah, and I actually asked how to pronounce her name beforehand, unlike every other guest that I've put on the show. Most people know her from a recent third place finish at USOCRC, the United States Obstacle Course Racing World Championships, in the 3K, and I believe you also finished fourth in the 15K. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
But she's been racing for a while, so she's also finished sixth at the Battle Frog Championships, the one and only, from December 2015. She finished third in the 35 to 39 age bracket 15K race at OCRWC in 2016. She was on the Battle Frog League Championship show in 2016 that aired on ESPN and also has competed on American Ninja Warrior. So, Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here, Evan.
So before we get into USOCRC, let's get a little bit more about your background. I know you're married, you have a couple of kids, and you're a stay-at-home mom. But
yeah.
What's your? We like to focus on the athletic background for a lot of the show. So what is your athletic background, and what did you do kind of going through high school, college type thing?
Okay. I've always been a runner for pretty much all my life. I went to a really small school growing up. So I didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to do track and field or cross country until high school. So I started competing in high school in cross country and track and field. Started out doing more of the distance events, the 800, the 1600, and the 3200. Ended up also doing the 4x800 meter relay. Then I kind of switched over into doing triple jump, and then also started doing some of the more of the sprints. I did 4x100 meter relay, 4x200 relay, 4x400 relay. Being a small school, I got to kind of focus on any event I wanted to at the time. So I never really specialized a lot, kind of tried everything. Then went to a Division III school for college, UW-Stevens Point. And there I started out in cross country my first year and ended up actually getting burnt out by just running too much mileage. So ended up not continuing through with cross country. I did do track and field my 4 years, but I focused more on the triple jump and the 400, competed quite a bit on the 4x400 relay team. And then my final 2 years in college, I actually moved over into the 400 meter hurdles and was doing that. So kind of been all over the board with different events that I did in school. And then once I got out of college, I started doing half marathons. I did a marathon. And that was a little bit too far of a distance for me. So the half marathon was more, you know, kind of a distance that was a good distance for me. But I just started running really just recreationally at that point, not doing a lot of competitions, just, you know, 5Ks local to my area once in a while and then, you know, a few half marathons from time to time. Didn't really start getting back into any type of training until OCR came into my world and completely flipped it upside down. I had my first child in 2007, and at that point, racing and that was so far out of my mind. It wasn't something that I thought I'd really even get back into again. Always loved competition, though. That's always been something, I'm a very competitive person. I like pushing myself, but that all just got pushed completely to the back burner at that point. So I ended up having 3 kids. So during that time, I was just using running kind of as a keep my sanity type of thing. So I'd get out whenever I could and just do a few miles here and there. So it's just real recreationally running at that point, just to stay in shape and to get that a little bit of time alone where I wasn't mom for a little while. And then my husband, he was interested in trying a Tough Mudder event, and he asked me about doing it because somebody, one of his buddies at work, had done one and said it was really fun.
What year was this?
So he mentioned it. This was in 2014.
Okay.
So he mentioned it to me, and I was, no, I don't think it's for me. But then he said, well, look to see where it's taking place, and we'll see how far it is away. It actually ended up being in my hometown where I went to high school at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. So I thought, why not? I'll give it a try and see. I watched some videos on YouTube of the Tough Mudder, and I absolutely thought this is not for me at all. But I thought, I'm going to just give it a try and see. So that's actually when I started training because I didn't want to embarrass myself and have to get help on every single obstacle. So I thought, okay, I'm going to actually try and see if I can, be able to get over a wall by myself. So then I started training and actually doing things like pull-ups and push-ups again and sit-ups and those types of things that I hadn't done in years and, started running more mileage. And we went and did the Tough Mudder, and I had an absolute blast. I had so much fun, and I'm like, I want to do this again. So I caught the OCR bug, and after that, then a friend of mine told me that you could do them competitively, so she had mentioned Spartan races, and so I looked into that, and there's not a lot of Spartan races that are in the Midwest, so no, living in Wisconsin,
the Midwest is a black hole. It's a black hole of Spartan racing.
Oh, is it ever? So there weren't a lot of options, so I had to wait until it was May of 2015 before there was an actual race close enough, so that I could go in and try one. And so the first race I actually did was the Miller Park Stadium Sprint in Milwaukee. And so I trained over the winter for that and, got ready for it and thought I'm going to try it in the elite heat and see how it goes. And it actually went really well. I finished third in the elite heat for the first race. So after that, I was really hooked and, thought, I'm going to really start training for this. I did the Minnesota Spartan race like a month later, I believe it was in June, and that one was a completely different race than the stadium race because it was at Welch Village, which is on a ski slope, and that one kicked my butt, and I was humbled at that experience because it was so different than anything I'd ever run before, and it definitely lit a fire under me at that point. I was really going to train hard and not let another race kind of beat me down. So it was, it just kind of spawned from there where I really got into, seeing what different races were around and, kind of traveling a little bit. I don't travel to any of the bigger races. So I kind of stick around the Midwest. But I've kind of branched off now I was doing Battle Frogs, when Battle Frog was still around. And I do enjoy the Conquer the Gauntlet races a lot. Terrain races, I've done some of those as well, but I really like the obstacles. That's kind of my, my area where I think I excel, and I'm working really hard on the running part now. So that's starting to come around as well. I love the sport and I love competing in it and seeing if I can keep improving and, I keep kind of surprising myself sometimes with, what I'm capable of. It's just fun. Fun sport.
Well, I'm excited to have you on the show. I know.
Thanks.
Being a ultra distance athlete, a lot of times, I just naturally tend to interview. I feel like I've interviewed a lot of endurance people. And
okay.
I'm glad I have someone who is maybe a little more short course focused on the show. I think the listeners will will enjoy a nice change of pace on that.
Well, that's good. Good.
So, but I will say, I mean, just looking at your background, you do have a wealth of running experience. So,
definitely.
I mean, I think anyone that wants to be competitive in this sport needs somewhat of a history of running, or you need to be very genetically gifted, right? Like,
right. That wasn't me. I needed the background in the running. So it definitely helps having a lot of years of just running. And you know, I didn't do a lot of hard racing or anything during all those years, so I didn't really beat my body up either, I feel like. So I'm older already. I'm 39. But I don't, you know, I don't feel like I'm 39.
You don't look like you're 39 either.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice of you.
I was talking to, I think, Jay Flores on at USOCRC, and he's like, yeah, she's going to be a master's. And I was like, what? No, that's not right. And he's like, no. I was like, I don't think that's right. So.
Yeah, it's funny. It's the only thing that's making me look forward to being 40 years old is that I move into that master's class. So I'm like, so that's the only thing I focus on is like, okay, you know, 40 isn't so bad. I'm going to be moving into a new block of racing, and I try to focus on that.
Awesome. So let's get down to it, because I think what people want to hear is the details about United States Obstacle Course Racing Championship, which took place, now we're sitting about a week and a half after the event, and
yeah.
It was in just outside San Antonio, Texas at the Y.O. Ranch, which is also where Green Beret Challenge did a race earlier this year, and where Conquer the Gauntlet is doing their final Texas race for the Texas Takeover.
Awesome.
I believe it's October 21st. So
awesome.
If anyone's not signed up for that, make sure you hit up Conquer the Gauntlet if you want to give Y.O. Ranch another try. But
awesome.
So, U.S. Championship, it's 2 days. Saturday is the 3K, and Sunday is the 15K. The thing that was kind of interesting about the 3K is the pro wave goes last instead of first, like pretty much every other race. So
yeah,
I took the day off from the 3K because I was still recovering from Toughest Mudder Chicago.
Yeah, all those miles. You should have been recovering.
Yeah. So I took the 3K off, and I had the experience of actually watching the other pros race, which is something I never get to do because I'm always in the middle of it. So,
yeah, it's kind of fun to do once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I haven't raced the 3K at the World Championship or the U.S. Championships, and
okay.
I don't regret either of them because I thought it was so much fun to run from obstacle to obstacle. Watch people.
Yeah, it is so intense of a race. It's so different than what most of the obstacle course races are that we go to, because most of them are, you know, a longer distance, and this is just short and fast and furious, and it's so exciting to watch. It was really exciting to be a part of too and be in that mix as well. But yeah, it's a fun race.
So what was your plan going into the race? So when you signed up for the 3K, were you thinking, all right, the 3K is going to be my, you know, my A race, and maybe I'll accept some risk on the 15K? Or were you thinking the other way around? And then kind of what was your expected, where do you think you were going to finish?
Going into the 3K, you know, I don't race any of the big races. So I haven't been to a lot of races where there's a lot of competition. So I haven't really gotten to race a lot of the top names in the sport. So being that I didn't have that experience, I didn't really know where I was going to fall in the mix. I knew my training was going really well. I actually am coming off of a lot of injuries over the last few seasons. So even the start to my season this year was a very slow ramping up into it. I had had really bad plantar fasciitis last year and in 2015. And I finally ended up after World Championships last fall, I took time off of running completely. So I didn't run from the middle of October when the race ended. I didn't run again until middle of February. And that's when I started picking back up again. So I started training. And I must have done too much mileage too soon, because then by the middle of May, I was having some pain in my in the shin area, but it felt different than shin splints. So I ended up going in and having an MRI done and found out that I had a stress reaction in my tibia. So I was told at that point to stop running and take some time off. So I was told 6 weeks of no running. Obviously, as a runner, that didn't sit well with me at all. So I didn't really start getting good training and consistent training until more like middle to end of June that I could actually start running again more than just a couple minutes at a time. So in July,
when you
and
said
August,
you did when you said you did too much mileage, what was that for you?
You know, it was more like I was going out and running 8 mile runs a couple times a week, and I was doing just slow mileage, just trying to build my base of mileage back up. It wasn't where I was doing any types of hard running or intervals or anything like that, or even hill running. It was just slow, longer distances. I want to say my longest run was about 13 miles in there. I was actually trying to get ready for the Ohio Beast that was in the middle of May. So that's where I was ramping up my mileage probably sooner than what I should have, considering that I hadn't run all winter and was just getting over that injury. It just was, I think, too much too soon, and I wasn't listening to my body, and I was, you know, I'd feel a little twinge here and there, but I just, oh, it's fine, you know, I'm not running that hard on it. So I'd go out and I'd run, you know, day after day, and then finally got to the point where I'm like, it really hurts to run. This isn't shin splints anymore. And that's when I thought I better go get it checked out. So I actually went in to the doctor right before the Ohio Beast and wanted to know if I had a stress fracture, because that's kind of what I was thinking in my mind, that this could be a stress fracture. And he did an x-ray and it came back fine, but he said he couldn't know for sure unless we did the MRI, and we couldn't do the MRI until after the Ohio Beast race. So I actually ended up going to the Ohio Beast and I raced it, but I didn't race it the way I normally would have, because he told me to be careful coming down off a wall, things like that. So when I got back from the Beast race, then I got the MRI, and that's when it came back showing that I had the stress reaction. So yeah, the start to my season was definitely slower than what I had wanted to. So I started racing again in June, and I did a couple races in June, and then just did training in July. So then at the end of July, I did a race, Savage Race, and then I had all of – and then I did the Conquer the Gauntlet race in Iowa. So I went down there at the beginning of August, and then I just took some time to train after that. So I got in finally some good blocks of training, and my running started to come around, and I'm finally running injury-free. And this is really the first time that I've been running injury-free in a long time. So going into this race, the U.S. Championship race, I knew I was feeling good, but I still didn't know, you know, where am I going to fall with such really talented athletes that were going to be there. So when I walked up to the line, I was actually just hoping to be in the mix, you know, and I was thinking top 10 would be great, but in the back of my mind, I was like, just don't be last. What I was going into there with, just because I didn't know what to expect. And when the race started, we all took off, and you know, my legs felt really good, and the turnover was coming really easily for me, and I was attacking the obstacles and moving really well through them. So the first, I think it was like mile and a half before we started to really hit where all of the obstacles started to come quickly, one after another. And the obstacles are really where I feel like I shine. That's my strength. So I thought if I could just hang in there with some of these, you know, the top ladies, hang with them, get to the obstacles, then I can start to see what I can do. And, you know, to my surprise, I was able to hang pretty well with them going into, you know, that first mile and a half where the obstacles started. And then at that point, you know, I was able to just go obstacle to obstacle, and I just kind of kept picking seconds off. I felt like that I was kind of pulling the group back in a little bit and getting closer to them. And then when we got to the final stage of obstacles where there's a lot of grip strength obstacles back-to-back, we were really close, second through fourth place, or even it might have even been second through fifth place. At that point, Nicole Miracle was quite a bit ahead of the rest of us, but it was a really close race then between the rest of us. So it was really exciting. And, you know, any mistake on an obstacle and you knew it was going to cost you potential podium spot.
Yeah. So for those that weren't there, the last, like, basically I think it was three obstacles were a skyline, which you may remember from OCR World Championship. It's like a mini zip line with like a peg in the middle that you have to kind of hop over. Then urban sky, which essentially had three traversing sections through your hands. And then it went right into Indian mud runs, floating walls. Now, I'm watching on the side, and I know you from Conquer the Gauntlet. You know, I've seen you on the podium there, so I know you're really good at obstacles.
Thank you.
And Nicole Miracle, you know, blazes through there.
Yeah.
And I think my recollection is it's like second through probably like sixth or seventh, basically all hit Urban Sky right around the same time.
Yeah.
And that's when I got super excited because I knew you were good at obstacles and, you know, Spartan is known for their heavy carries, not really known for their technical obstacles. So you all hit the reg, the Urban Sky almost simultaneously. And I was like screaming your name to like, I was like, oh, God! And, it was insane. You went from, I think you were in like fourth, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Getting onto that obstacle. Yep, I was in fourth. And I actually didn't know that, though. I got onto that obstacle. I had no idea where I was. And I still didn't even know when I crossed the finish line. I still didn't know what place I had finished. It was crazy because there was just that many of us bunched together that I didn't know where everybody was at. And I started out more in the back of the pack. So I didn't really know who was all in front of me moving forward, you know, and you just keep, you know, moving your legs and keep going and just hoping, you know, you're catching up to the top group. But when you, you know, don't know where that top group is, you know, you're not really sure if you're still in the race, you know, in a podium position or not. So I just knew that there was a podium position right around where I was, and I just knew I needed to keep moving through and not make a mistake. It was an exciting, intense moment when we were all on that second-to-last obstacle at the same time. And I think at that point, Rhea Coble was there, and she fell off, I believe, in the middle section of Urban Sky. Karina Coffin was just in front of me, and then Kristen Saad was right next to me. So it was the three of us then moving forward, and Karina and I got off of Urban Sky and took off to Floating Walls, and it was a race through there, and Karina went so well through that obstacle because I thought I was moving through it pretty fast, but she smoked me and was down across the finish line. And and then I came.
So tell the story of what you just told me before we went on the air about going through Floating Walls and what people were yelling. I believe it was what Chris Accord was saying.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice it at the time, but when I watched the video back, I was being announced as Lindsay, and that it was a battle between Karina and Lindsay. And I don't think anyone, I can say no one was expecting me to be in the mix. So I don't think my name was on the forefront of anybody's mind of who was going to be, you know, battling for the top positions at the end. So I honestly think that a lot of people were surprised to see me there. And as I mentioned before, I don't go to a lot of the big races, so I don't think I'm very well known yet in the obstacle course racing world. I don't race a lot of, Spartan races. I kind of do a lot of variety races. So I think I'm still a little bit of an unknown face in OCR yet. I know I did have a lot of supporters there because I could hear people that were screaming my name, which was awesome and helped, you know, motivate me to keep moving through. But I'm more known in the Midwest as opposed to, you know, doing any of the NBC Spartan races or any of those bigger races. I haven't really done them, so I don't think people know who I am. So I'm pretty sure when I crossed the finish line, not a lot of people knew who I was.
I think Chris Accord was probably having battle fry flashbacks.
I think so, too.
Cheering for Lindsay and Karina.
Yes, that's what I figured it was, too. It was kind of cute, and it just made me laugh when I watched it back, or listened to it back, because I'm like, oh, he thought I was Lindsay.
But for those of you who don't know, Lindsay Webster's Canadian, and this is an all-American event. So for once, we got to leave the Canadians at home.
That's right.
If we could just make a U.S. endurance race and we could leave some of the Canadians at home, I'd appreciate that because I keep losing to them. Austin
good.
Azar and Ryan Atkins.
Ryan Atkins,
and
yeah.
A couple other. And Allison Ty usually comes close to beating me. In fact, she beat me once.
She's
in
amazing.
I've been beaten, not to get sidetracked a little bit, but I've lost to three. I've gotten chicked three times in ultra distance obstacle course racing.
Once was
Amelia Boone at 2015 World's Toughest Mudder.
Okay.
And then at Toughest Mudder Atlanta, Allison and Lindsay both chicked me by a couple minutes,
It's really good athletes that you know are running by you then. So
I was really upset by it. I was like, I started running next to Allison in Philadelphia, and I was like, you know, you chick me, and I'm not gonna let that happen again.
Like, it gives you more motivation, Evan. So that's like, good.
Yeah. I didn't realize how fast people were gonna go in. Get sidetracked again, but I didn't realize how fast people were going to go in Atlanta, and it really caught me off guard. I was going out
really
easy, I did for BFX, and I would usually win those. And,
people were moving that fast right away, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, crazy. with the prize money and televised, it's a lot more competitive, obviously, than
Absolutely.
BFX was. So,
jeez.
Anyway, back to the U.S. Championship, which is what we're here to talk about. So you crossed the line. You know, it's Corinna, it's Nicole Miracle, and it's you. And what was that conversation like?
Well, I crossed the finish line, and Jay Flores and Lisa Nondorf are some of my closest friends. They were there to greet me at the line with a huge hug, and I was so exhausted. I just wanted to lay on the ground at that point, too. I'm like, I need to lay down and just like absorb what just happened. And I remember asking Jay, what place did I finish? Because I literally did not know. Where I was, in my head at that point, I thought I was fourth, which for me, I was ecstatic with just a fourth place finish. And then when he told me I was third, I was beside myself. I didn't expect that at all. So I was, you know, really excited for that. And, you know, like I said, just wasn't expecting it. And I think I surprised myself with it actually.
And then what did, I think it was Corinna or Nicole say to you? Do you remember? You told me afterwards.
Yeah, Corinna and I know Corinna from Battle Frog, so I know Corinna. It must have been Nicole. I know everything was kind of a blur at the end of what happened, but I don't think she knew who I was or, you know, was familiar with who I was at all. And it was, you know, who is that? So, yeah, kind of funny because, I don't think anyone expected me to be in that spot. So it's kind of fun for me. Too, to have that good of a finish to this big of a race, so
yeah, that's huge. I mean, podium at the national championships is insane.
Yeah, it is.
So, podium finish on day one, Saturday. You wake up the next day for the 15K. What was your expectations going in?
My expectations going into the 15K were just to have fun because the 3K had gone so well the day before at. At that point, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go out and enjoy this race and have fun with it and run my race and, you know, see how it goes. And I started out kind of conservatively because I knew it was a long race, wasn't sure what we'd be expecting, you know, what we'd be seeing for hills and heavy carries and some of those types of things. So I thought I'm just going to go out kind of slow. So I started out slower and then just kind of kept working my way up in the ranks too, I think, for – a while I was in like seventh place, and you know, through the first probably 3 miles or so, and then I kind of started moving up at that point. And by the middle of the race, I moved into fourth place, and then that's where I stayed. I was able to hold on to fourth place then through the rest of the race as well. So I was really happy with that too because. I didn't know how my endurance was going to be yet because I haven't had a lot of time to really work on, you know, the longer mileage and the slow grind and that kind of stuff. So I wasn't really sure where I was going to be at the end. Just, you know, I just haven't had enough time to get a lot of, you know, really good solid training in where I felt confident of how I would do. So that's, I think, another reason I went out a little bit slower and conservatively just to make sure I had enough in the tank to finish at the end and, you know, so the race overall went really well for me too. There was a lot more sections actually of running than what I was expecting. I think there is like mile at a time. Sometimes you'd run without an obstacle, as well. And running hasn't always been my strongest suit. So, I was, you know, really happy to just kind of hold my own and stay in the position I was during those runs sections. And then, you know, the obstacles, I enjoyed the obstacles. I tend to like more of the harder obstacles, like what Conquer the Gauntlet has, where they're really grip intensive. They challenge your grip and your upper body strength. There wasn't a lot of that for me, I felt like, in this 15K race. I thought the 3K race, there was more of that just because there were so many grip strength obstacles kind of back-to-back in a quick period of time that it did kind of, you know, give you a little bit of, you know, taxing of your grip strength. But the 15K was so spread out that there wasn't a lot of, you know, challenges with the obstacles. It was a very well-run event and a lot of fun obstacles. I just, for me, my wheelhouse is, you know, the harder the obstacles in terms of the grip strength obstacles, the better off I end up faring. So, but it was a good test for me to see how my running was and how, you know, how I did with carries and things like that. So for me, this was actually probably a really good race for me to do because now it kind of sets me up for, you know, how world championships might go for me as well. So, yeah, so overall, I was really happy with how this weekend went and where my training is at right now and, you know, have things to build off of from, you know, what I learned about where I'm at from the U.S. Championships. So I'm, you know, really excited to go into next month's World Championships and see how it goes.
Cool. Well, I just wrote a review for U.S. OCRC that's now up on Mud Run Guide.
I just saw that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, if people want to see my my detailed, not too detailed, but... You know, I think I've written like a page and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the obstacles and what I thought of the event. You can check that out. So what was your, I'd say, what was your favorite and least favorite obstacle on the U.S. Championship course?
Favorite, I would say, is Skull Valley. I liked the variety in it where they're using the ropes, the rock climbing grips, you know, going up over the cargo net. The leap of faith part was fun where you're you know, jumping over that and, so I like the variety with that one. It's not an obstacle you see at, you know, other OCRs. So I like that one because it's just unique and different.
For those of the people who weren't there, it was basically – it was like a rope into the red skulls on the side where essentially you had to move sideways into a couple of rings and ropes, back into some skulls, into a cargo net, and then into dragon's back, one-jump dragon's back, and then down a cargo net. So – very unique. It was under a shaded area, so
that was
it was
nice.
Essentially all spectators were sitting there watching.
Yeah, that
and
was
it was
cool.
Right after two walls. So you went over a terrain race wall with a rope, and then you went over a Conquer the Gauntlets, Continental Divide. So personally, I know I didn't realize my hands were a little more tired than I thought they would be. Even just like it was like, oh, there's just two walls, but.
But it's more taxing than I realized too. I thought, wow.
Yeah, because when you're running all out, you know that's not much recovery time because it's essentially a couple of seconds between those
obstacles and So and that's what I like is when there's a lot of obstacles that are like that bunched together because it does challenge my grip then a little bit more and I think that's what I like is that challenge and see can I how long will my grip hold out. So I like that part. So that was my favorite obstacle. Least favorite, I would have to say, and it was more of the yoke carry because of how it sat on the back of your neck. It wasn't so much that it was too heavy to carry or even I've done the terrain race where they have the yoke carry with the two tires hanging. So I've done yoke carry before, and I've kind of gotten it figured out how to do it where it's not swinging, too much or swaying too much. But this one with the log that was, that we were carrying, I couldn't find a comfortable spot to put it where it wasn't on that bone in the back of your neck. And it was a pretty long distance having it, sitting there. So
yeah, I heard it was 0.3 miles.
Okay, that sounds about right. Bottom. Yep.
Yeah.
So it was a fun challenge, but at the same time, like, my neck hurt a lot when I finished that one. And I'm like, yep, glad to get this one put down and be on my way. But and I hear it might be at Worlds, so I'm going to have to figure out what to do to make it less awkward to carry on my neck.
I posted on my Facebook page earlier this week some sweet tips for dealing with the yoke carry. Did you happen to read those?
I did, and I'm going to be hopefully implementing some of those. That makes it a little bit better for the next time. But nevertheless, it was still a good obstacle, something different, and I like that. I like the variety and that, unknown going into a race like the OCR, U.S. championships like this or the world championships where it's just different obstacles, and that to me is just exciting and fun. Challenge ourselves with something different.
Yeah, 100% agree. It really brings out, I think, the best well-rounded OCR athlete, right? Because you can
absolutely.
You can absolutely get very good at one specific series, whether that be Conquer the Gauntlet with all its very technical obstacles or Spartan with a lot of heavy carries. You can really specialize. But I think
you really can. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I've decided, too, I want to do a variety of obstacle course races in my season. And I don't do a lot of races. I do maybe 6 to 7 throughout my season, you know, including the championships races. But I try to do a variety just so that, you don't end up specializing in one thing. Then you kind of get a variety and become more well-rounded as an athlete as well.
100% agree. And I know I do mostly ultra, but I also, like throwing down in short course occasionally. Like, I'll still do a warrior dash, and I'll still do events like the Battlegrounds, which we have coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay, sure.
Which are, they're mostly flat. Well, maybe not. I guess warrior dash is venue dependent, but, it's a lot more running intensive. Obstacles aren't super technical, but I think all of that makes you well-rounded, right?
So it does.
If you go to a race like that and get blown away, you're like, all right, I need to work on my running.
Right. It shows you your weaknesses. It uncovers those for you so that when you're in the big races, the championship races, hopefully you've uncovered all your weaknesses throughout the season and, you've gotten a chance to work on those.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did you think of the event as a whole, like the atmosphere, the venue, and then kind of, for those who weren't there, kind of describe the terrain / elevation?
The location, the venue was phenomenal. I mean, it was hands down just an awesome place to have it. The different wildlife we saw when we were there, I mean, just it was really, really neat. I think they did a good job of picking the venue. The terrain is very different than what we have in Wisconsin. So that was a little bit, different for me trying to navigate the rocky terrain because there's a lot of spots where there would be just a lot of loose rocks, and bigger rocks. They have to go across. So that was something I'm not really used to. And, so it was a little harder navigating through that. There were also a couple spots where they had really steep inclines. They were short, but they were steep and kind of rocky as well. So, that kind of changed up the race a little bit, too, where it wasn't all flat. There weren't a lot of hills in this race, but the ones that they did have, I think they were quality. They were, they definitely challenged you. Some of them coming down them were a little hairy. There's one where you had the rec bag on your back and coming down that steep, kind of almost like a cliff with it. That was a little bit, different trying to get down that in one piece. the terrain was varied enough, that I really enjoyed it. I thought the venue was really good. And there were spots that you could, do wide open running. And I liked that too, because a lot of venues, it seems like you go to, there's so many hills and things that it's hard, or single track where you have a hard time getting around people. This was a great one where you could pass easily. You could, kind of open it up and, and I like a lot of obstacles, but it was also kind of nice having those spots where you could just run and, before you got to the next obstacle. So I liked the variation there with it too. Definitely a good venue. It was a little hotter than I'm used to because we don't get that kind of heat that they had down in Texas. We don't get that really in Wisconsin. So that was something I hadn't gotten a lot of chance to train in the hotter weather. But fortunately for me going on Sunday's 15K, we went out in the morning. So it wasn't as hot as some of the people who had to deal with the real intense heat in the afternoon. I give them credit because that would have been tough being out there in the heat.
You got to respect those. They had the older age groups go at like noon, which was
brutal.
I was standing volunteering by the Conquer the Gauntlet slip wall, and I was hot in the shade.
In the shade. I know. I wanted to go out and cheer for people and stuff, but I'm like, no, sit in the shade or go out in the sun. I'm like, it was hot. It was hot. So the people who went out later in the day, I give them credit because that would not have been easy. No.
So I agree with everything you said. I really liked that the venue, I think we get obsessed in OCR, like everything has to be harder and more epic.
Yeah.
And we tend to put, all right, every championship race is on the side of a mountain. It's like, are we mountain running or are we obstacle course racing? So I liked the variation, how, Blue Mountain, the OCR World Championships, is on obviously a ski mountain.
Yeah.
But this was flat, mostly in fast, with a couple of those steep hills. Like you said, a lot of wide open running, but then there was a couple of, you know, steep technical uphills or downhills.
Yeah, it was a good variety, and I like that because you don't see that a whole lot in venues that give you that option to have that much variety. So well done to them for, you know, the group for doing that and using the terrain, I thought, really well. That they did a nice job.
And then what did you think of the atmosphere as a whole?
It was fun. You know, being there for the first, you know, the inaugural event, it was, you know, a really pumped up atmosphere. I think, you know, the people that were there were really excited about being there. You had Coach Payne pumping everybody up at the start line. You can't beat that. It was really fun, and I'm glad I didn't miss it, you know, that I was there for it, because, you know, the first one always seems like it is, you know, the epic one where, you know, everyone talks about it. And so it was neat to be there. And the OCR world is so awesome in the sense that everyone is so friendly and supportive of each other. And, I mean, hands down, you know, that's one of the reasons I love OCR and the friendships you make. You know, I met a lot of really cool people at this event. And, you know, that was fun, too. I mean, that it just made it worthwhile being down there for that as well, just meeting new people and seeing how, you know, people were, you know, meeting their goals and, you know, keeping their bands. You know, that was a big thing for a lot of people, just getting through with their bands. So it was neat to see a lot of people, you know, conquer their goals too. So, yeah, super fun event.
Yeah, I love the atmosphere. It was just everyone who does – essentially all, like, the, you know, the well-known people in OCR were down there, which is – it's just so much fun to be in that crowd.
I know
you get that same experience at OCR World Championships, but at the same time, it's a little bit different, right? Because I'm not friends with, you know, 1,000 people from on the other side of the globe.
Right.
You know, yep. I'm sure I've got a couple hundred in my, like, list, right? But
yes.
You know, I'm pretty sure I'm friends
frequently.
With. Yes, exactly. But, like, I'm pretty sure I'm friends with almost all of the people who I know, like, almost all the big names that were there. So
I thought
that was cool, just seeing everyone, you know, from Facebook and from all the other podium pictures you see online or from Mud Run Guide. And,
absolutely. It's nice to actually see them in person. And, it was very, very fun that way, where you got to, you know, kind of mingle with the people you see on Facebook all the time and support them in person and cheer them on and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
So you mentioned band finishing percentages, or you mentioned people finishing with their band. So I just want to read through some of the band finishing percentages, and I was actually surprised by some of this. So
for the
males, and this is overall, 32% of males lost their band.
And this was in the 15K and 3K.
This 15K only.
Okay,
I only have those stats in front of me.
Okay,
61% of females lost their bands. So that's an average of 40%. So as far as that kind of covers everyone. And then for the pros, you had 4 females lose their band, and you had 0 males lose their band.
Okay.
So I remember, like, I finished the race, and I was talking to some other people, and they were like, oh, I think the obstacle should have been harder, or, you know, it seemed a little too easy. But if you look at these finishing percentages, I would say they say otherwise.
I would agree. It's interesting because for me, I thought the obstacles were too easy. But when you look at the masses of, you know, all of the racers that were out there, there's a lot of different skill levels that are out there. So I always have to try to, you know, take a step back from, you know, my capabilities and say, okay, well, what about all of the other people who are going to be racing this? You know, is this challenging for them? And, yeah, I would say based on those percentages, it was. I'd love to see them do kind of like what Battle Frog had done, where they had different lanes. So the elite heat had a certain lane, and then those in the open had different, you know, lanes that were easier to get through, but yet still could be challenging for someone who's new to the OCR world. But the lanes that were the elite lanes really challenged the elites. And sometimes I think, you know, it's hard to strike that balance. I know they, you know, talk about striking that balance so that it's challenging still for the elites, but that, you know, the age group individuals still can, you know, get through it too. But sometimes I think it's almost too one side, you know, to the age group side instead of the elite side. But, you know, maybe I'm on my own on that one because I like hard obstacles. So maybe it's just me. But yeah, I'd love to see harder obstacles especially for the championship races, because, you know, I think those should be the ones that really challenge you in the obstacle part of it, as well as the terrain, as well as the heavy carries, you know, that it's kind of across the board, that it's not just one area that's more challenging than another. But yeah, like I said, I like the hard obstacles for grip strength stuff. So I'm probably biased that way. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, yeah. I would love to see, like, it would make my day if Pegasron was in the middle of the championship race. You know, I'd be like, hell yeah.
I know, that one's so fun. It is so much fun to do Pegatron.
It would obliterate the field. There would be so many fans sitting there.
Could you imagine the backup that would take place? It wouldn't work, but, you know, at least we get to have it at Conquer the Gauntlet. So we at least have a race series where we get to go and do it if we want to. So that helps.
And then if you're so funny, I was talking to Rachel Angladen afterwards, and she's like, whenever people tell me it's too easy, the first question I ask them is, did you win? And then when they say no, she's like, you probably should have ran harder then.
Oh, that's
I was like, that is a great response.
That is a perfect response to that.
Because it's true. I mean, if you run harder, I mean, those obstacles
will be
harder. Yeah, they start getting harder. Your heart rate gets higher. You're having trouble pushing blood to your arms.
Yes.
You know,
it makes a huge difference. Like I said, the 3K race, I was, like, at the end, my arms were, they were shot. You know, and I'm like, there weren't even that many obstacles. And yet, but it was the difference of you run hard to them, you got to attack them. You don't have any time to even think about how you're going to do it, or are my arms ready to go on this? You just have to go. And so then by the end of that one, my grip was, you know, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm good. So it does. It depends on and exactly how hard you're running it. And if you're racing it really hard, those obstacles are going to be a little more challenging. So that's a good point Rachel Ann had.
Cool. So before we take off, I know Brenna had a question for you. She wanted to know a little bit more about your training and how often you do speed training and kind of what that consists of.
Well, because this season has been kind of strange for me with how it started out, you know, with the injuries. And so I hadn't really put any kind of speed training into my programming until, boy, it must have been like end of July is when I started doing any type of speed. And, you know, I'm not really that well versed in what I'm doing. So I kind of just put together what I think seems like a good idea to do day to day. So I try to do, you know, now maybe one speed work a day, or one speed workout a week. But I also try to push my daily running, like when I go out and just do a regular, you know, 6-8 mile run, push some of those miles so that I'm going, you know, faster than what's maybe my comfortable pace, and trying to push that a little bit more. And I do usually a hill session as well each week. Something that I'm focused on more now than I have been in previous seasons is like the recovery, you know, after I'm done with my runs, doing mobility work and, you know, doing the proper nutrition for recovering, those types of things I never really thought about previously. And now with all the injuries I'd been dealing with, I realized how important those things are too. So, I want to say I do maybe like 35 to 40 miles a week of running. And usually like one of those is a long run. And then, like I said, the one speed workout I usually try to do. I'm not really a fan of doing mile repeats, but I know they're really important. So I've thrown those in on occasion. I'm actually, since the U.S. Championships, I'm starting to work with a coach. He's working with me for these last 5 weeks, Dennis Welch. If you are familiar with Dennis or not, but he's been working with me now, helping me kind of figure out how to program training. Because like I said, I really don't know what I'm doing. I just throw in things that I think seem like they'd be helpful, but I don't really know if they're helping me or not. So, and I had really liked Dennis's philosophies and his training. And so I'd been kind of following his Facebook and, you know, watching to see, you know, what some of his tips and things were. And so I've been in contact with him throughout this season, you know, just communicating with him a little bit about, you know, different tips and things. And then after U.S. Championships, we connected again. And, you know, he said he would be willing to help me these last few weeks, you know, working up to the World Championship race. So I've been learning a lot about proper training, and, you know, and he's pushing me harder than what I would normally push myself, but in a really good way. So, you know, I'm really excited about that too, and hoping that that can kind of help, you know, me have more direction of, you know, what is the proper training and how to do it. So, something new for me, trying it out. So far, I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. The, I mean, the level you're operating at, you're working on, and now you're working on marginal gains, right? Like, you need,
right,
like, your recovery has to be dialed in, your nutrition,
yeah,
has to be, everything has to be dialed in, because
so many little things that you kind of, you can forget about so easily that they're really critical. And I've been seeing that, that those things really have been, you know, very beneficial to me. And, you know, now I go out and I run and, like, everything feels good. You know, my legs feel good. There's no twinges of pain that are, you know, creeping in. It's like everything is operating well. And I think there's just so many of the little things that are so helpful that if you don't do them, you know, they start creeping in, that, you know, your body starts to let you know, like, hey, you haven't been, you know, doing any foam rolling lately. And hey, you haven't done any stretching or anything lately. So your body lets you know real quick if something's out of whack. And I've learned more now to listen to those signs versus ignoring them and just, you know, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. So trying to run smarter,
yeah,
too. And it's definitely making an impact. Cause I'm, you know, I'm really seeing my running times coming down, and, you know, things are kind of coming together, and at the right timing too, because, you know, with the championship season here right now and everything's kind of clicking right now for me, it's a good time for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. If, you know, if, with those marginal gains, if you can do 20 things that improve yourself, you know, 0.1% or whatever it is, you know, you start adding those up, and then you time that by multiple years, it has a significant impact.
Oh, it does.
And I know,
does,
for my fitness, for me personally, you know, based off trial and error and experience, I feel like that's how I've been making gains for about 15 years, you know, just chipping away at it. Yeah.
It can be a slow process. I think a lot of people think, you know, it can happen overnight. It really doesn't. You know, you do need to have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, and it's a lot of work. And you have a family too. And I know for me, with having three kids, it's hard to balance that and find that time to get the workout in. You know, it's really easy to just say, you know, not today. I guess, you know, I've got this going on. And it's trying to squeeze somewhere time out of your day to go out there and do the work. And, you know, I find myself up, you know, late at night doing, you know, my core workout, or doing, you know, another set of pull-ups because I didn't get all of them in that I wanted to get in throughout the day. So it's a lot of sacrifices, and, you know, but in the end, you know, it's rewarding to see how you can improve over time. And like I said, just keep chipping away and seeing those gains. It's enough to keep you going and keep you motivated, I guess.
You familiar with the saying, how do you eat an elephant?
No, I don't think I know that one.
Okay, so the question is, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time.
Ah.
Right, so.
Makes sense.
I like that one better than, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yes.
So.
Yep, I like that one.
Same concept, same idea. But.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Good stuff.
So before we take off, last couple things. I know you said you're going to be racing OCR World Championships coming up.
Yes.
Doing the 3K and the 15K and the relay? What's your...
I'm currently signed up for the 3K and the 15K in the age group bracket. I'm right now tossing around the idea of moving into the pro bracket based on how the U.S. championship race went for me. So still kind of undecided as to where I'm going to go with that, which one I'm going to race. But and then for relay, I'm hoping we are short one relay member yet. We're looking for a speed person, looking to do the co-ed relay, so, and doing that in the pro division. So we're, yeah, still looking for a speed person, so I'm hoping to do that one too. So
right on. And
yeah.
Then what do you got coming up for 2018, or what, obviously the race schedule hasn't been published or anything, but any kind of big major events you want to put on your calendar?
I might try to go to one of the NBC Spartan Series races. Going into the Masters category next year, kind of want to see, you know, how that would go for me, trying one of those races. Otherwise, just, you know, once again, the U.S. Championship, World Championships would be my big ones. And then, you know, just trying to fill in the blanks a little bit with some of the local races, probably around the Midwest, and, you know, keep doing the variety of different races that I've done. But, yeah, probably just focusing mostly on U.S. and OCR World Championships for next year would be the big ones.
Cool. And before we take off, any people or sponsors or companies or whatever you want to thank?
I want to thank my husband. He's awesome. I mean, I couldn't do this without him. He's done so much to help me be able to have the time to train and even to go to the different races. I mean, he a lot of times will stay back with the three kids and take them on, which I think he has a harder task taking them on his own while I'm off racing and you know, and doing these different races. So I definitely want to give a shout out to him because he's the only reason I'm able to do this. He's, yeah, been a huge support for me and is always encouraging me to keep going and keep trying. And, you know, even though it means that he has to make some sacrifices to make it happen, he's awesome.
Well, I think that's great. It's super helpful, obviously, to have an encouraging spouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my wife is.
Yeah, yours.
My wife deals
awesome
with a lot
too.
Of stuff.
Yeah, she's pretty, and, pretty awesome.
I remember, so I went to a wedding a couple of years ago, and I was talking to one of the bridesmaids. I was a groomsman, and
okay.
She was telling me about how she used to be, you know, a fairly high-ranked triathlete,
okay.
and then she basically stopped, and you know, after she got married, and blah blah blah, and I was like, if I was your husband, I would have been like, get back on your fucking bike.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, she was doing, I can't remember the exact, because it's a couple of years ago, I can't remember her exact placement, but she was like nationally ranked.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, I would have not let you quit.
No kidding. You know? And that's what I feel like my husband has done for me sometimes, where I'm just like, you know, I don't know if this is worth it. He's like, no, keep going, you know, you love this stuff, keep going. And so, yeah, it makes a huge difference if you have a spouse that is encouraging you to do it, and wants you to, you know, see what you can, you know, what you can do and what you can get out of yourself. So, yeah, spouses are important keys. If you have a good one that helps you, it's awesome.
Cool. Well, Julie, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been great
Evan.
Talking to you.
Yeah, this has been fun. Thanks.
I'm excited that I'm your first podcast.
Yeah, this is a new experience for me too. So, thank you. It's been fun.
So I will see you at some upcoming races this year, and
awesome.
Definitely see you at the World Championship.
Sounds
and,
good.
And that's it for Strength and Speed.
All right. Thank you. Down.